Meg will come and read the gospel reading, and as she comes, I want to challenge the young people especially to listen to this scripture. And the story that goes with that is years ago when I was a youth minister down in Georgia, we were having a youth Sunday coming up, and the lectionary reading for that Sunday was this scripture. So I want you all to listen and think, what would you do with this if you were supposed to try to figure out a youth Sunday from this story?
This reading is from Mark chapter 9, 2 through 10. 6 days later, Jesus took with him Peter and James and John and led them up a high mountain apart by themselves. And he was transfigured before them, and his clothes became dazzling bright, such as no one on earth could brighten them. And there appeared to them Elijah with Moses, who were talking with Jesus. Then Peter said to Jesus, "Rabbi, it is good for us to be here. Let us set up three tents, one for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah." He did not know what to say, for they were terrified. Then a cloud overshadowed them, and from the cloud there came a voice. "This is my son, the beloved. Listen to him." Suddenly, when they looked around, they saw no one with them anymore, but only Jesus. As they were coming down the mountain, he ordered them to tell no one about what they had seen until after the Son of Man had risen from the dead. So they kept the matter to themselves, questioning what this rising from the dead could mean.
Well, when I was with that group of youth years ago, we first began to try to plan for Youth Sunday, and they knew enough to know that we tried to start with what was the lectionary reading to see if we had something to work with there. And this reading always comes on this Sunday, the Sunday before Lent begins. And the kids we read it. And it was Sunday morning, Sunday school. We used to do Sunday school before worship, so they were even sleepier. Having been up late on Saturday night, none of you do that, right? None of you young people. And when I said, "All right, what do you hear in this story?" They just looked at me. Bill Fry's nodding his head. Yeah. Like, what is this story about, right? And then I said, "Well, okay, let's just talk about, like, how do you experience God in your life?" And they just looked at me. So finally, I think under some inspiration, I said to them, "What do you do, or where do you feel most alive?" And they sort of said, "Well," I remember Sarah Wolf, "when I'm at the beach, lying in the sun, listening to the ocean, getting in the waves." Another young man said, when I'm mountain biking, out in the woods, crashing through the woods, going as fast as I can. Others talked about dancing, singing in a choral group. Some of them are really good musicians, or playing an instrument. Others, all these things they talked about, that where they feel alive, connected, tuned in. And I finally said, that is God. That is you connecting to God, but you don't claim it. You don't see it. You don't know it. So we ended up with the worship service that had pictures of all these amazing places that they loved, that had dancing, that had a video that Will did on his mountain bike going through the woods that made some of us a little bit seasick or whatever sick. But it was their claiming of what made them alive that might be at least an opening up to the holy, to the sacred, to God. There's a lot I could say about this passage. We had a really good time with it in Bible study Tuesday night. I keep mentioning Bible study because I really want some of the rest of you to try it out, because we really get into stuff and we have good conversations. And I think what's really important about this passage is to go back to chapter 8 and look at the context. Jesus has just asked his disciples, after months, years, we're not sure how long, of ministry, teaching, and healing, he'd said, "Who do people say that I am?" And they said, "Well, some say you're Elijah. Some say maybe you're John the Baptist come back from the dead. Some say you're just a great prophet." And Jesus said, "Well, who do you say that I am?" And they said, Peter. Peter always had something to say. Peter said, "You're the Messiah, the chosen one." It's the first time in Mark's gospel that that's been said by one of them. And Jesus said, "Yes." But then he immediately began to teach them that he was going to suffer and be rejected and be killed. And they had no idea what in the world he was talking about. Nothing in their thoughts of the Messiah could ever imagine that. And Peter starts arguing with him. "You shouldn't be saying that. What are you talking about?" And Jesus sternly rebuked him and said, "Stop. Harsher than that, get behind me, Satan. Don't tempt me to turn aside from this path that God is showing to me. That the way of love and compassion that God has revealed to me, that I'm trying to show to you, the way of living in the world will take me through suffering and rejection and even dying." And right after this, seeking again clarity and discernment and confirmation, he takes his closest three disciples and goes up on the mountain, and he has this experience that we call the Transfiguration. There's a lot in it, but let's just focus for a moment, as we ended up doing in Bible study, on what happens to the senses. First, they see Jesus' appearance changed. He becomes all light. All the material substance, the earthy stuff, sort of falls away, and he's all light, like heavenly light. And they see he's talking to the spirits of Moses and Elijah, somehow embodied there. And then Peter, of course, has to say something. So he says, "Let's put up some tents. Let's put up some booths here. Let's, you know, make a little places here." And preachers have been hard on Peter all through the years. Like, he wanted to stay on the mountaintop, just like we go on a retreat and we wish we could just stay there forever with those good feelings. I just think Peter didn't know what to do. And so he was one of those people who opens his mouth. But to name the other senses. And then the cloud. Have you ever been on a mountain when the clouds come around? Can you remember what that feels like when all of a sudden you can't see anything? And you feel the moisture on your face and on your hands, and all your normal sensory waves of seeing, we're so used to seeing, are sort of lost, but you feel it. And then the voice. I imagine a voice that they felt inside their bodies as much as they heard with their ears. The vibration. "This is my beloved. Listen to him." Stop talking, Peter. "Listen to him." And then it all just dropped away and things were normal. What must they have been feeling and thinking walking back down that mountain? And Jesus says, "Don't tell anybody. Don't say anything. Don't try to explain this or talk about this until after the Son of Man is risen from the dead." And they're like, "What?" Some of you have joined me in getting Steve Garnas Holmes' weekly, several times a week, blogs on the lectionary reading. And the ones this week were really struck me. Can you guess I'm playing around with what I'm saying here because of time? Okay. Steve Garner's homes, three booths, three tents. The first is the booth of seeing, knowing what's going on, understanding and placing everything where it belongs on our map. Instead, there is light too bright to see in. The second is the house of certainty, knowing there's a law about this, knowing we are right, and that we know all there is to know. But instead, there is a cloud of unknowing, thick as ignorance and even doubt. The third booth is the temple of control, in which our powers are enhanced, and in the end, we will have deserved this. Instead, there is no congratulation, just instruction. Listen to him. There are no booths. We cannot, I would say, to add, we cannot put spirit in a place, in a tent or a temple. There are no booths, only a clearing where the beloved enters a barely discernible path, the path of mystery, the path of wonder, the path of trust. And Pastor Steve Garness Holmes goes on to put these words in the disciples' mouths. Oh, we saw it all right. The light, the elders, the voice. But explaining it, don't even try. When you've seen glory, don't prove it, don't brag, just let it shine. They'll argue about whether he's the Son of God. Ignore them. Look at the light and what he does. When Moses came down the mountain from God, people just knew. So I think the question for us is not to let this story be about what happened, how was it, what is this? It's about how is the Spirit trying to open us up to the path of mystery and wonder and trust? How do we connect with the realm, the consciousness, the reality that is here, God, mystery, divine mercy, spirit, whatever we want to call it, the holy, the sacred, that is as close as our breath, as close as the moisture on our cheeks? How do we open our hearts and our minds and let it move us toward love, compassion, faithfulness, hope in the midst of dark and troubling times, courage to go through suffering, not to try to go around it. This is the way of love. We cannot do it just on our own. We need this higher power that is here. Let us open our lives and move into what is. Let us dare to be fully alive as children of God. Amen.